Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Juan on Juan podcast. Shout out to the newest patrons, Abella Window Cleaning. Thank you for editing your membership. Tony Lucero, Shy King, Lauren Stickler, Joshua Stepp, Ditton Wilson, Rachel S., Nicholas Fly, Kaylee Ream, Jim Eastman, and Overcash. Tonisha Noonan, thank you so much for signing up for the Patreon. And also make sure to follow the show on all social media platforms, tjojp.com. Also check out my Twitch and other YouTube channel. I will be streaming to those weekly. I'm shooting for a weekly streams, playing various games and decoding them as we play through them, and just more chill, laid back, live type of thing for those interested. Anyways, enjoy this episode. Hello and welcome to the Juan on Juan podcast. If you're enjoying the show, consider signing up for the Patreon. There you get ad-free content, early access, exclusive episodes, and monthly supporter hangouts. You can find it at patreon.com/thejuanonjuanpodcast. If you don't like the subscription-based models, there are other ways of supporting the show that are linked in the description. Thank you for tuning in and enjoy this episode.
They said it was forbidden. They said it was dangerous. They were right. Introducing the paranoid American homunculus owner's manual. Dive into the arcane, into the hidden corners of the occult. This isn't just a comic. It's a hidden tome of supernatural power. All original artwork illustrating the groundbreaking research of Juan Ayala, one of the only living homunculologists of our time. Learn how to summon your own homunculus, an enigma wrapped in the fabric of reality itself, their power at your fingertips, their existence, your secret. Explore the mysteries of the Aristotelian, the spiritual, the Paracelsian, the Crowleyan homunculus, ancient knowledge lost to time, now unearthed in this forbidden tale. This comic book holds truths not meant for the light of day, knowledge that was buried, feared, and shunned. Are you ready to uncover the hidden, the paranoid American homunculus owner's manual, not for the faint of heart? Available now from Paranoid American. Get your copy at tjojp.com or paranoidamerican.com today.
Welcome to the Juan on Juan podcast with your host, Juan Ayala.
We're here.
All right. Hey, everybody. Thank you for coming, Juan, and welcome to Galt's Landing. That's after John Galt from Atlas Shrugged. We are demonstrating freedom in every conceivable way, in the heart, in the mind, and in the land, and in our lives. So it starts here at the front entrance where we have a civil peace flag flying. There's three recognized flags in the United States. There's the captured flag with gold trim, the war flag, which is the flag we all recognize, which symbolizes the corporation of the United States at war with the people. And then this is the civil peace flag. So the first thing to be aware of is that we have a slave system. This system is not a system of freedom. We have been lied to so much, and we are at war, and war is deception. So we have been deceived to believe in the current system. In fact, if you haven't seen it yet, Larkin Rose, who wrote The Most Dangerous Superstition and What Anarchy Isn't, also produced a film recently called Jones Plantation. I suggest you watch that incredible the TV show or documentary, really, and it details how we became enslaved, the tricks and the tools that the slave masters use. You know, Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. And what I've been doing since I woke up in 2007, I partially woke up. In fact, I thought Bush and Cheney and Rice and Rumsfeld, I thought all those guys were bad people, which of course they are. And then I thought Obama's going to save the day. I had tears of joy when Obama was first elected. And then he won a Nobel Prize and I was like, yeah, that's how ignorant I was. And I say that because everybody is ignorant. I'm still ignorant in infinite ways. What we must do right now is embrace our ignorance and then look for the truth, right? The truth is so profound, it's so beautiful, and it's so radically simple that it evades us because we've been so governmented. Govern is to manage, control, or steer, and mente is mind. You don't think our slave masters could have come up with a better term for the structure that enslaves us than governmente? Deep breath, my friends. You know, one of my favorite sentiments, quotes, concepts was when Tesla said, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. But there's one word misplaced in that ultimate truth, and it's the word think. If you want to experience the secrets of the universe, of God, of nature, of source, take a deep breath, take your shoes off, and touch the ground. Feel the energy, frequency, and vibration all around us. And then demonstrate faith and courage, which is the frequency, the energy, and the armor of God, my friends. So this sign right here, this basically shares with any governing body that implied consent is not granted. And it says right here, unless you can only come on this property if you're either invited or you have a valid constitutional Fourth Amendment warrant signed by a judge with proper jurisdiction showing probable cause and the specific places or things to be searched. And then it gives case law here. So just the other day, maybe a month and a half ago now, we had a fella show up here at Galt's Landing, and I was in the field, in the food forest, which we're going to show you here in a second. And my buddy Carlos, he calls me up. He said, Jim, there's a guy with a badge on asking about permits. My friends, we have publicly declared that we are free. We do not ask our slave master for permission for anything. So my heart started beating. And I started recognizing, oh my gosh, I have a little tinge of fear for the first time in a long time. And so I took a few deep breaths and the fear was gone. I turned on my phone and I walked up to this fellow with the phone on, recording. And I said, hey, I'm recording this conversation so we don't misinterpret any of the words that we say. And I introduced myself. And then he introduced himself. And I could tell that there was an energy here, a fairly decent energy. It wasn't an authoritative, demanding, forceful slave master energy. It was actually kind of open because he said, after I said, how did you get permission to come on our property? It's posted. And he said, if you want me to leave, I'll leave. And he said it sincerely. So I said, well, maybe, but first, I'd like to share with you what we're doing because we don't want to fight anybody. We fly under the peace flag for a reason. And at the same time, we're incredibly well prepared because we know that there is force and violence in this system. So I showed him the food forest and I shared with him this very simple truth. What the government will allow us to do and will even subsidize is the use of poisons and chemicals and synthetics and heavy metals. They'll spray it from the sky, they'll put it in our water, they'll put it in our soil, and they'll put fear in our mind through the government-controlled media. The BlackRock-controlled media. BlackRock and government are the same thing, my friends. BlackRock is not only the name, it's the intention. BlackRock is not only the name, by their deeds. By their fruits you shall know them. It is the intention. Look at what they invest in. They invest in the death of everything. And what is BlackRock run by? A computer named Aladdin. In fact, since we're getting into it, I'm going to go deep a little bit here. And don't let this dissuade you from the truth that I'm going to show you in a second. The truth is, from every logical perspective, the smartest thing we could ever do is take the poisons out and grow food instead of lawns. So real quickly, the fellow from the government who was here, he had tears in his eyes, and he became a major advocate for what we're doing. And he said that he's going to talk to everybody who aren't the NPCs that are in the offices here. And he said, we're going to support you to the best of our ability. He said, I'm not the head guy, but I'm going to do everything in my power to support you. And he was sincere about it. I've got a master's in neurolinguistics. I know when somebody's sincere or not. So it was a beautiful interaction, which inspired and changed the mind of somebody who had never seen these solutions. So what's actually going on? Let's go deep. Right? This is an apple with a bite out of it. This is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They want to put this in your hand or your forehead, or they want to jab you with a DNA changing technology that changes who we are. Now, by the way, this can be reversed. So don't be fearful. If you've had an injection or five, don't be fearful. Fear is the ultimate control mechanism. It's the illusion that we are not part of the divine. So check this out. In fact, we can walk and talk while we do this. What were the first Apple computers sold for?
I found this on the web.
$666.66. Coincidence? There's no coincidence in this world.
He liked repeating numbers. That's the...
Yeah, right? Yeah. Now, okay, so Apple, Microsoft, all of the AI kind of foundational elements in our world. Microsoft patent, human bodily activity and cryptocurrency.
Like,
what?
This on the web.
Yeah. Oh, 2020-06-06-06. Zeros are nothing. 2020-666, cryptocurrency system using bodily activity data. Think about that for a second. All right. Now, you'd want chaos in society. When the mark of the beast was first talked about in the book of Revelation, and I'm not a Bible scholar, and I also believe that religions can also be tools of enslavement. So I'm not promoting any tools of enslavement. I'm promoting service and connection and the permaculture ethics, which are earth care, people care, and reinvesting our surplus in a way that benefits earth care and people care, right? It's so logical, it's ridiculous. House Resolution 116th Congress, Trace Bill.
Here's what I found.
H.R. 6666, testing, reaching, and contacting everyone. This is the intention, is to force the compliance of the mark of the beast. And our job is to rise above that, to elevate and say, no, we are going to go with GI over AI. I might be wrong about a lot of stuff. Do your own research. Don't trust or believe anybody. That's how we get in trouble. But feel how it feels and then do the research to see if it resonates with you and if the research backs it up. So here's what I believe to be true. In fact, I would say that I know this for myself to be true. We are all part of the divine. We are part of God's system. How could we not be? God is omnipotent, omnipresent. God is the wellspring, the frequency, the foundation of all creation, right? Everything is part of this system. So GI, which I call God's intelligence, GI, created AI to play the game. AI, the devil never lived. It's lived backwards. Evil and live are the contrast. And AI is here to deceive us in this incredible game of life, to comply. But compliance through deception is invalid. So as soon as you know that every contract that you signed under deception, every birth certificate, all of your social security, it's all rooted in deception. Therefore, it's invalid. We don't have to do anything but declare with our energy, our hearts, our minds, we declare we are free. and then we are free. That's the start. And then how do we get real strategic about it? Because a lot of you are scared. A lot of you are scared to say, I'm not going to pay for my own enslavement. I'm not going to fund the war, the genocide that's happening, frankly, all over the world right now. The most apparent ones are in the Middle East, in the Ukraine, and all over. But it's everywhere, my friends. So the question I've been asking is, what is the ultimate foundation? Number one, it's awareness of what's going on, who we are, and then taking steps towards solutions. Number two, it's taking the poisons out and using our resources wisely. This area right here could be a lawn, right? Instead, in this 42-yard, 8-yard wide little section of land, we have over 70 food-producing plants, right? Now, this is far less maintenance than a lawn, and it produces an abundance, an exponential abundance of food, right? These avocados, this is planted, now it's been like 13 or 14 months. There was nothing here 13 or 14 months ago but sand. And now, look at the mangoes coming in, and the cherries, and the Jamaican cherries, and the guava, and Jabba de Caba.
Do you know the average size of a home's backyard, what the average American backyard, the size is?
Well, so here's what I know for certain, is that there's over 47 million acres of lawn in the United States alone. The lawn is one of the physical foundational elements of our enslavement. The lawn is a lie, it's a scam.
But it looks good, Jim. Ah! You look good.
So, you know, that's a funny thing. It's so true. A lot of people, we've been programmed and deceived.
I'm one. I'm self-conscious about my front lawn sometimes when it's dying and there's weeds in it.
But yep. And then even the term weeds. We've been deceived to think that dandelions are bad for us. That's a major market. These guys have billion-dollar marketing campaigns, multi-billion, trillion-dollar marketing campaigns over time to deceive us into believing dandelions are bad. Dandelions, there's millions of seeds. There's dandelion seeds all over the place. When a seed, which is I call God's intelligence, when that seed gets certain frequencies from its environment about nutrient deficiencies, the seed will germinate because the dandelions have a job to do, and that's to solve the problem. That's to heal the soil and the gut. Look up the health benefits of dandelions. It's absolutely amazing. So here's what will happen. The dandelions will go nuts depending on how deficient the soil is for the first year, maybe two, maybe on the edge of three. And then all of a sudden, even though there'll be millions of dandelion seeds in the soil, they will not germinate because the soil is healed. And that goes the same with all the plants. There are no weeds. The weeds are the GMO corn and soy and wheat and the crops that are used to enslave us, grown with poisons. Those are weeds because they do not produce a next generation and they are meant to harm. There's no other weeds in a system. There are plants that here, I've been told, are invasive. And so water hyacinth. In fact, remind us, when we go to the pond, I'm going to tell the water hyacinth story. There are so many deceptions about fearing.
That's the hydrilla? Water hyacinth? Or?
Yeah, it's water hyacinth is a filter feeding plant.
Yeah, it's the one that from India, I think it's from?
Yeah, I know
about that. Yeah,
it's fantastic. And it's non-invasive. When it, after it cleaned up our pond, now it's not growing fast at all. So it did its job. So, yes, so we got to look at when somebody gets an award, yard of the quarter, right? The next yards of the quarter are going to have like fake lawns. What's that called? AstroTurf?
Yep.
And there's going to be fake rocks and fake plants. And pretty soon people will have all that fakeness. There's not one butterfly. There's not one bee. There's not one frog or toad or lizard. And they'll be like, ah, I won the yard of the quarter and I have death all around me. And I died of cancer at 40. Oh, man. And my aunt died of cancer. She was always out there spraying her Roundup on everything that she, every bit of life. And then boom, she dies of cancer.
Wow.
This is how it goes. So this area is a scar. All right? This area in the background, we started with just sand. Then the next thing we did is we put mulch on top and we planted some sun hemp in this area. And then as these food forests come together, this whole area will be like a massive Garden of Eden. And, you know, every food forest by its very nature is a nursery. So what's gonna come of this? If we left this right now, just with the food forests that are here, and came back in 30 years, this food forest would extend for hundreds of miles. You say, how is that possible? Because the wind, the rain, the animals, and the birds come into the system, they eat the fruits and the berries and the nuts, and then they go out and they poop somewhere on the other side of the lake, and now we've got a new blueberry bush growing on the other side of the lake. So the amount of energy that it has went into the destruction of our natural resources is exponential. It's evil, right? And one of the concepts, you can count the seeds in an apple, but you cannot count the apples in a single seed, right? That's the power of nature. So we have, by the way, we have a bunch of Airbnbs here. Our intention,
people can come visit you, right?
Yeah, and they can stay overnight. They can harvest their food from the food forest. They can learn about freedom. Yeah, it's awesome.
So I have to book a stay here too.
Oh, for sure, brother. Our intention is to show as many people as possible how it is that they can take the steps towards freedom. And because that's how, when we achieve mass adoption, when we catalyze a shift in awareness that leads to mass adoption of simply taking the poisons out and growing food instead of half of our lawns, we solve deforestation and mass extinction. Those are big ones. Cancer, diabetes, and heart disease. Those are pretty big ones. We end hunger. We end scarcity, which is the catalyst for fear, which is why they can recruit for war, and we end tyranny. So when Kissinger said, control food, control people, that's not just the ramblings of a psychopath. He was the guy who appointed Klaus Schwab to the WEF. This is a strategy by the slave master. So look at this pathway. 2 years ago, there was nothing here but sand. Isn't this epic?
Look, Florida's another realm. Florida's another dimension.
Yeah.
Anything grows.
Yeah. Look at the food coming in everywhere.
And these are banana trees?
Yep. There's about a dozen different kinds.
How do you talk about this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That you can eat that?
Oh, yeah, man. This banana flour is very nutritious and delicious. These bananas will grow up. In fact, we just harvested a big rack 2 days ago. And, I mean, 2 years ago, this was nothing but sand. There was no life here at all. Not even a bee, not a fly, not a butterfly. And now the place is absolutely loaded. In fact, we have over 240 different types of different species of edible and medicinal plants on the property already. Just the ones that we know about, plus all of nature's volunteers.
And you just let them thrive, the extracurriculars?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. We love them. Here's a pineapple here. This here is a perennial peanut. So these flowers are edible and medicinal. And there you go if you'd like some wine. Now, this is a ground cover that can take the place of grass. It's more beautiful. It has these yellow flowers, and it's like a living Band-Aid for the earth.
And they don't taste bad.
No, right? They got a little bit of a sweetness
here. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So look at how these extend. So this here is a scar on the earth, and this will cover the scar, and it'll fix nitrogen in the soil, and it'll also hold more moisture. You don't ever want your earth exposed to the sun. So, and this is something that we've just learned. I've learned in the last basically year and a half since this has been spreading. When I walk barefoot, this is like walking on cool cotton balls. It's absolutely beautiful. Where this is kind of hard and crunchy. So we're going to let nature do what nature does and create the Garden of Eden for us. Now, it's our job to design it in. So we design the right plants, the right guilds. And a guild is a community of plants that support each other. And then using permaculture design, which is earth care, people care, and reinvesting the surplus in a way that does good for earth care and people care. And well, I'll get into the council in a little bit. We've got all the tools, by the way. We're going to change the world. We, you and I, everybody here, it's time that we change the world, and we know exactly how we're going to do it. So anyway, we'll get into that in a second. But you see how the land is raised up a little bit right here? This is so when we have a rain event, the rain is funneled in to specific areas where we want the water to slow, sink, and spread. Right? And bananas love water. So we raised up this land for the banana circles, and they're absolutely thriving.
Other banana plants, circles,
yeah,
is what they're called?
Yep. Bananas don't like rows. They like circles. They like communities. And talk about investment. You know, the U.S. dollar is in rapid decay. It is failing, and it is designed to fail, and so they can usher in the CBDC, the mark of the beast, and the whole control mechanism. And they're going to then base that off of, they're going to attach it to the climate change narrative, right? So anyway, we're solving all those problems without being attached to any kind of insanity. And our job is to take our fiat, which is in decay, it's shit, and to compost the shit. That's what you do with shit, is you compost it. And so how do you do that? Well, if you got $100 and you've got a space in your backyard, go buy 3 or 4 banana plants, go buy some papayas, go buy some sweet potatoes, go buy some berries or whatever. And then you use your fiat, and it goes exponential in value. So we along here, we put maybe 3 or 4 banana plants, right? That was 2 years ago. We've already harvested multiple racks of bananas, enough to cover the cost of the initial purchase. Plus now, we've taken about 150 smaller bananas out of this area to propagate around the other parts of the farm. So that $100 investment in this area right here has already turned into $300 or $400 of value, and it's exponential in just 2 years.
And it's okay to buy the plants from these stores like Lowe's or Home Depot, like those are okay?
That's funny. I just had a talk about that yesterday. So it's the act of how we grow the plant that matters the most, right? So is it better to get your plants from somewhere that has never sprayed any poisons or toxins? It is. But if you see a beautiful plant at Lowe's or Home Depot and they're sold out at the local organic nursery store, then go ahead and get it and add compost tea, add the right fertility juices to that plant, and then put it in the right type of guild, which is permaculture design, and then the plant will thrive.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So it is, because it plants from, I was talking to you about my environmental dilemmas, and we're talking about how the development, the plants absorb,
yes,
the poisons, yes, that are in the ground.
They eat them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's just something, because obviously not everyone has access to, we have to start somewhere, right? So we don't have access to organic nursery or whatever it is. So I want to see if what's available to the ordinary person, yeah, is okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a good observation to.
And I'll get into a little bit of that. That's very relevant. So if you want to take your camera out of the sun, just so then, yeah, there. So great points. If you have the desire to start making steps towards freedom, you can literally start with $20. You can go to the store, or better yet, a farmer's market. You can buy your fruits and veggies, and you can take the seeds out, and you can literally start your own food forest with no extra money out of pocket. You get some decent dirt, you start loving on the plants, you put the seeds in, you go to YouTube and find out how to do it, and you can start your whole thing with no extra money. For those who want to speed up time, that's where the permaculture design process becomes incredibly valuable, because a professional designer can then take a look at whatever your land or your housing, your situation is, and they can design it to be to your specs, and then based on what's good in that agricultural zone. This works in Minnesota, Arizona, Poland, the deserts of Jordan. We can green the deserts with this technology.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
And where can people go to find that, Jim? Because you do offer that service, right?
Yes. It's the company Food Forest Abundance. So my equity is going to the Council of 12, and we'll sit down and we'll grab some chairs and we'll sit and talk about what that, how relevant that is to our world. But go to foodforestabundance.com. And we have a bunch of designers across the world that design permaculture systems, and they'll talk with you for free for 30 minutes in a strategy session. And then after that, they'll help guide you based on what your needs are to whether you want to DIY it or you might want to design. It's up to you. But a lot of good information will be conveyed.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Yeah. There's the world's happiest dog there.
Yeah. With up, Lily. So... this is a symbol. This is Hank Willis Thomas, a South African artist. And my partner Marcel saw this and said, we got to have this at Galt. This is a symbol of what we're all about. That's the farmer's arm, and this is the arm and the symbol of tyranny. I'd imagine growing up in South Africa in apartheid and seeing the British baton as one of the ultimate symbols of tyranny throughout our world. Well, we're saying no. We're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to serve our community. We're going to help our community be free. We're going to help our community grow food and become aware of how they can be happier and healthier. So the service that we are providing becomes the ultimate layer of a sort of protection to what we're doing, because we become the golden egg, or the goose that's laying the golden eggs for the community. Mm-hmm. And we now have generals and Green Berets and colonels and Silver Star nominees and all these incredible people around us. In fact, I had a congressman here yesterday. I've met with two candidates for presidency. We are having people come around this idea. Victor Hugo said, there's one thing stronger than all of the armies of the world, and that is an idea whose time has come. This is it.
Awesome. I love it. This is a practical way. Everyone talks about breaking out of the system, sticking it to the man. And this is the reason I love this, because it's a practical way that you can do that. And it's something, right, as you get older, have a family, yeah, it's something that benefits you and your family, because you want the best for your family.
So, yes.
And I've talked about this numerous times on my show, for those that have listened to it, about breaking, unplugging from the grid.
Yeah.
Breaking free from that.
Unplugging from the grid and just walking around. I do walking breakfasts all the time. Come out here with my daughters and we just go and we grind away mulberries. Go ahead, buddy.
These are what?
These are ever-bearing mulberries. Mmm.
They're juicy.
Yeah, aren't they good? They're so freaking delicious. And this is now... wow. Beginning of good, right?
Yeah.
This is the beginning of April. The fruits are just starting to really come in after winter. We still have thousands of pounds of sweet potatoes and yucca and turmeric and ginger and all sorts of roots and tubers in the ground and a lot of edible spinaches. But now the fruits are coming. And that's so exciting. We also have chickens and cows and ducks and seven types of species of fish in our pond. So we've got a mixture and bees. We got about 30 pounds of honey in our first 2 years. I don't know nothing about bees, right? I don't know much about cows.
Well, they tell me that they're dying off, so mm-hmm. That's all I know about bees. And if they die off, we go with them.
There you go. Bees know about bees. Bees will take care of bees, mm-hmm. right? And then they'll provide us a massive amount of nutrient-dense food, honey, which lasts forever. Yeah, that's so cool.
It's a preservative, too.
Yep. Yep. And we have this incredible lake, the only dock on this 430-acre lake. It's a private lake. There's one other house on the lake. Oh, put that in a voicemail. All right. Look at these fruits coming in. I don't know this one. This is a deciduous tree, but look at all the fruits coming in. Oh man, I can't wait to try that. There's a Pakistani mulberry.
So wait, that's a tree that just showed up here? Or
you... No, it's planted. I just don't know them all. I was 12 years in Costa Rica, before that Minnesota, and I can name probably 60 or 70% of the trees around here. There's a good cherry tree. There's some squash on the ground, some wild fennel, more mulberries.
What would you recommend for people to start with if they had to start with something small? Let's say, you know, like a 10 by 10 foot area or something.
Well, that area around this statue, it's a 20 foot diameter circle. You could put four overstory fruit trees in that area. You could have then some sweet potatoes, some turmeric, some ginger, depending on your zone. Every zone has different plants. And then you could have some understory bushes and shrubs and blueberries and raspberries and blackberries. You could have a mulberry in the middle. And you could put all of these things into the same small system with layers, seven layers in a food forest. And then after those trees get a little bigger, you get a vines going up them. So you can have grape and passion fruit and all that.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Such a beautiful day out today too.
Yeah, it's perfect.
The sun is out, but it doesn't feel hot.
No, it feels really nice. So should we grab some chairs and go sit and talk about the council?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Welcome back to another episode of the Juan on Juan podcast. I'm your host as always, Juan. Make sure to follow the show on social media at the Juan on Juan podcast on all social media platforms. TJOJP.com, Patreon.com/the Juan on Juan podcast, all that good stuff. Today I'm on site doing something a little bit different. Boots on the ground. We've been walking around this beautiful food forest, and I'm with Jim Gale today at Galt's Landing. Yeah. It's not as interdimensional as I thought it'd be, but it's beautiful nonetheless.
Yeah.
Jim, thank you for having me.
Thank you, man. It's a pleasure to have you here. We love showing people this place because it inspires people to take action. And that's what we need right now. We need to strategize. We need to follow Martin Luther King's advice. He said, those who love peace must learn to organize as well as those who love war. So I've been obsessed around this concept, this idea, and the questions that follow for about 17 years.
Interesting. And where can people find your work, Jim, before we get any deeper into it? Do you have a website? Yeah. I'm going to be doing something a little bit different today. I'm going to be doing a vlog that might be separate from this podcast episode that people can check out of Jim giving us a tour. But for those that didn't watch that and are watching this, what's your website and where can they find you? Have a YouTube,
yeah.
Instagram?
My YouTube was shut down. I've been shut down off social media significantly over the last 4 years especially. But we do have foodforestabundance.com. That's our website, foodforestabundance.com. And then we have galtslanding.farm. It's G-A-L-T-S landing.farm. And that's this place. And then my team is getting us all out there on social media, Instagram and stuff, but you can find it through the website.
Yeah, that's the place to go because social media, while the grid is still up, is where you go to really push everything. And yeah, what got you started into all this? Because this is something that I've been talking about. I know on my show, I talk about esoteric concepts, the occult, alchemy, but The Alchemist, for example, which is one of my favorite subjects to talk about, they were about hacking the matrix. They were about creating their own gold, unlimited wealth, living forever, elixir of life. It's like, well, when you have power, when you have wealth, well, it's like you want to control reality. Well, they have that too. They're like, all right, let's step outside of space and time with the alchemy and able to manipulate it from a perspective that is hidden away from us, right? And I think that a practical way of starting to do that is unplugging yourself from everything that we've been enslaved to, right?
Exactly. This here is the ultimate alchemy. Taking a piece of raw land that was sand 2 years ago and turning it into a food forest that provides an incredible exponential amount of life and service. I can walk outside my house right now, and this is far less maintenance than a lawn. I'm not a farmer, and I don't grow plants. Plants grow themselves, right? We design food-producing plants and animals into our system, and I can walk outside right now in 10 minutes, I can have a basket of food for my family.
Well, we were eating the flowers and eating the berries, and I was surprised at how good they taste.
Yeah.
You know, and there's something about Florida what drew you to Florida?
The weather and the proximity to Costa Rica. My family's from Costa Rica, and we wanted to be close enough to Costa Rica. So I love Florida. I love everything about it.
And
feel free to hang out, brother. Yeah.
And yeah, people can book tours. They can come out here and walk around.
Lily,
come
here.
And also people can book a stay here and pick berries and
and
pick their own food. But Jim, for those that don't know you, can you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got started in all of this? I know you've had an interesting journey throughout life.
Yes, I have. Wrote my goals for the first time after listening to Dennis Waitley's The Psychology of Winning. And it blew my mind. I could not believe that I didn't learn those important concepts in school. because I didn't know that school was an indoctrination system and it was a bunch of BS, right? So I listened to that, I wrote my goals, and I wrote that I wanted to be a three-time All-American and national wrestling champion. And I handed my goals to the coach and told my some of my friends, and they all laughed at me because I sucked. Relative to my goals, I sucked. And anyway, I was then I became so inspired once I became aware that I could achieve those goals. I was elected captain of the team as a freshman in college, which is very rare, redshirt freshman. 4 years later, I was national champ, four-time All-American, inducted in the National Hall of Fame. Because I created a vision, everybody can do this, right? I sucked before that. So that's really important to know that whatever the mind, and this is Napoleon Hill's deduction after studying the most successful minds in history, whatever your mind can conceive and believe, it can achieve, right? So that's how I got started in this.
Yeah, and that's something that, you know, you can call it whatever you want. You can call it manifestation. You can call it whatever it is. And you people have to put in, it's not like you can think of it and then it'll just happen. You have to put in the necessary steps. I'm sure you had to train. I'm sure you had to learn new things to be able to make that happen.
Yes.
And that's something that I encounter a lot with in this realm. Sometimes I'll say things and it's weird when you're putting work out there and people are interacting with, because it seems like to help that process, because I guess people get on board with you and they also focus their energy and their attention and things line up in a weird sort of way. And so I know we talked a little bit about the food forest, and I asked you a question because something came up. So if I'm growing this on in my backyard, right, let's say I don't know how big my backyard is, but if my neighbor next door is spraying garbage into the ground, will that, can that filter through my backyard and taint my plants if that was the case?
It can. And there's ways to mitigate against that, a lot of ways. The number one way is inspiring mass adoption of taking the poisons out and growing food into their lawns. But until that happens, we can use plants to heal the soil and microbiome. Like I'm going to share about the council. We have assembled a council of 12. And within our council, we have the solution to all of it. And I'll get into the details so you see what I'm talking about. So Pat Miletich, who was a five-time UFC world champion, he was then the coach of a dozen other world champions. So one skill set is being your own champ. The next skill set is coaching others. He's a superhuman coach. He now has become a soil savior. And he's also very vocal about what's happening around the world right now, which is so cool. So he demonstrated faith and courage and strength and wisdom. He's a soil savior. And he brought aboard Dr. Will Spencer, who he calls a national treasure, and I'm calling him a global treasure. So Dr. Will has spent his life researching soil and microbiome and asking the question, how do we heal the soil? The soil is our skin. It's the skin of the earth. It's the protective mechanism, and it's the foundation of all life on earth. Right? The soil is where the food comes from, for the most part, unless it comes from the ocean. But we need both. So he has developed, you putting all of these systems together, a fertility juice that has over 1,000 living microorganisms in it. This fertility juice has shown to eat heavy metals. Wow. And poisons and shit out bioavailable fatty acids that can now be eaten by plants as nutrients. So you put that on your land and maybe spray some on the neighbor's land as well, and it will increase life exponentially.
So, and did he patent that?
No, it's nature. You can't patent nature. So what we're, in fact, like we have
That's
no-
That's incredible.
It is incredible.
That's alchemy.
It's alchemy.
Yeah.
It's the ultimate alchemy, turning death to life.
Yeah.
Like that's better than turning anything to gold.
Yeah.
Right? Turning yeah. death to life is the ultimate. So we don't have any patents, any NDAs, no non-competes. We are all about service, which is also alchemy, because the more we serve, our human nature is to reciprocate. So the more we serve, the more we become served. So that's what our council is about. Doc Will and Pat Miletich and Lisa Mollison, her husband was considered the father of permaculture, and she is the steward of all the Permaculture Institute's knowledge. And and McKinley Halady, who's bringing New Energy World and steel frame construction to the world. And Theo Fleury, the hockey legend. He was a Stanley Cup champ and an Olympic gold medalist, and he led his team to the championships, and he was also traumatized. He was raped as a young player. And he speaks about trauma being the root cause of all human suffering. And Kevin Fretz, who's got a soil manufacturing systems that are going all over the United States. And so, and Marjorie Wildcraft, and all these amazing people are coming together. John Baxter with the Bloomberg's Healing Technology of the Year. And I'm throwing out these names. These are our council members that are now organizing to bring together all of these solutions. So how do we change the world? It starts with creating awareness. How do you create awareness? You create a plan, and then you assemble and you inspire the influencers like yourself to share the plan. And so it's happening exponentially right now.
Yeah, and the reason, and people have to be passionate about it too, because, yeah. And like I was saying earlier, I have a family, I want the best for my family, and I know this is a controversial thing where people are like, oh, you can't eat meat because it's bad, it's bad for... Listen, I think God put animals on the earth and gave man dominion over them for a reason. And I think, again, obviously there's cruelty going on. Yeah. So I've opted out from the major biotic fed, stuff
that they... Industrial agriculture.
That whole thing, and opted out for one that's supposed to be free, organic, grass-fed, whatever. Yeah. But I still eat meat.
So, yeah, me too.
And what are your thoughts on... So right now we have a lot of this, we're talking about the overdevelopment that's going on here. There's not enough resources for, we've seen this. When 2020 happened, everyone was freaking out. There was no freaking toilet paper. There was no this, there was no that. So we know that the system is flawed.
Yeah.
And I think this is a practical way for people to be able to at least flood. You're completely off grid here, right?
100% off grid.
That's amazing. Yep. So it can be done. It's just how to go about executing it, and then obviously you provide that service too. What are your thoughts on this overdevelopment that's going on, especially here in Florida? It seems like they're just buying up all the land. We were talking about the land credit scam that they're doing. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's unsustainable and destructive in every way. It's the death of our world. If we can continue to use our resources in unsustainable ways, all unsustainable systems fail. Right? But here's the good news. So the bad news is humans have participated in the destruction of our world. The good news is we are going through the Great Awakening, and humans are starting to recognize that it's our job to again be the stewards of this earth, of this living system, this sentient beings. If you love this planet just a little bit, just design a good home for this plant. This plant will provide exponential abundance for my great, great, great grandkids. And for a lot more people, right? So that's what we're helping to shine awareness. So this idea of choice is almost always misrepresented, because the word implies awareness. If there's not awareness of choice, then there's no choice. So our job is to show people, to demonstrate the solutions to tyranny and all of the problems, and then that will create awareness, which will then help people choose a better way.
Absolutely. And you said you guys are in how many countries all over the world?
We have now served people in 54 countries and 50 U.S. states. We have a permaculture design team. I believe we are one of the entities leading the world in the permaculture design process at scale. And we have also installers. If you want to be in the business of installing, like if you're in a landscaping business, add permaculture designed edible landscapes to your landscaping business, or start your own permaculture food forest business. And this is how we do it. We get the designers and the installers working on behalf of humanity. And these are great businesses, by the way. I mean, Galt's Landing, our Airbnbs are rocking. We have tours like almost every day. We have tours. And we also are producing food, which is incredibly valuable, poison-free, nutrient-dense food during a food supply chain collapse. Mm-hmm. It's the way which we want to inspire people to take part in building the golden age with us.
recently we had a, I believe it was an AT&T outage.
Yeah.
And that just came to show how reliant people are on this technology, the grid, everything. No one could communicate.
Yeah.
Because nobody had, so how you're saying, if this system, which is designed to fail from the beginning, because we know it can't sustain itself, the infrastructure, if Fort Lauderdale floods, they can't get gasoline, they can't get food to the people that are there. So like, and especially South Florida, that it's a concrete jungle. There is no greener, there is nothing else out there. And people, I don't know what it is, people are gravitated towards that. But the fact that you're saying that this right now, if the grid was to fail, if there was something to happen, I'm not saying it's gonna happen, but if it was to happen, this is something that, how you're saying, you're turning that, the, what'd you call it? You're turning the shit into gold.
Yeah.
Because you can take this and you can
alchemy,
trade and
right,
bargain and do all those things.
Exactly. This is, I'm a fan of the, of gold and silver. I own gold and silver. But if the food supply chain collapses, I would rather have a bunch of food around me than a treasure chest of gold and silver.
Yeah, you can't eat gold.
You can't eat
it. You can. There's forms of gold.
You can trade it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Actually, colloidal gold is really good for you.
Yeah, yeah. So those health benefits to it. But yeah, I'd rather have, again, a food force where I'm able to pick these fruits and sell them and trade with people.
Yeah.
So I think that it's very powerful what you're doing here. And I think more people need to be on board, because not enough people, in my opinion, talk about this sort of thing. Because it's a lifestyle, right? And again, correct me if I'm wrong, but have you turned your love and passion for something into a sort of business as well?
Because exactly,
like, they say that when you do something you love, you don't work a day in your life.
I have not worked for a long time. I am enjoying this so freaking much. I walk outside and I go with my daughter. She's 4. Her name is Sophie. And we go treasure hunting every day. What is treasure hunting? Finding nature's candy. We go pick the cherries and the mulberries and the grapes and all the different stuff around. It's absolute pleasure. And I don't have to maintain this food forest. A food forest that's well designed and well irrigated at the beginning with the proper guilds in place maintains itself, just like the forest down the street from your house, just like the Amazon rainforest. A well-designed system is self-maintaining and regenerative, and it'll spread in beautiful ways.
Why Galt's Landing? Because I know that's something that is a little bit, I mentioned it earlier, I'm familiar with it, but why'd you pick Galt's Landing out of all the names?
Yeah, so great question, Juan. So the 20th best-selling book of all time was Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged. And in the book, John Galt is the guy who recognizes the insanity of government, and he calls them the looters, right? Which is exactly relevant to what's always been happening, but is very apparent today more than ever. And he said, I'm going to take my free energy system and my wisdom and my energy out of this. Now, every book, just like 1984, Atlas Shrugged, has its one, whether this is intentional or unintentional, I think it's unintentional. It's not necessarily a deception, but it's just not the way. And what John Galt did is he took all of these incredible entrepreneurs, these businessmen that were creating value for society, right? And he took them out of society to create their own little utopia in the mountains. And they had a system that hid them from society. Well, we're doing it the exact opposite way. We're creating free energy systems everywhere around here. This is a free energy system. A little dog, she's a barker. And this free energy system is so exponential that we're telling the world that we're here. So we're telling the government, hey government, we're not playing your game. You're invited to play our game, but we're not playing your game. And we're doing it so publicly that the government does not want to debate me. In fact, like I said, we had a congressman here yesterday. He was a Democratic congressman. He didn't debate me once. He agreed with everything I said, because here we are. We're not talking about a hypothetical. Nobody can stand here and say, this isn't real, this doesn't work, mm-hmm. right? Except for some mystics who know that this is, in essence, not real. It's all vibration anyway.
Can you get into that? What are your thoughts on reality itself?
We are in a form of game, in a matrix of sorts. And to be aware, like James Patrick Gale is a character in a play James Patrick Gale feels like a distant memory to me. It's a concept, right? James means to defeat, overthrow, or supplant. Patrick means noble, and Gale means strong wind. So I didn't know that. About 2 years ago, my buddy Ethan said, Jim, do you know what your name means? I said, no. He said, you're here to be a strong wind for change to defeat and supplant the current government systems. And I'm like, no shit. That's exactly what I'm here to do. Is that a coincidence? It can't be.
You're living your...
My character.
Your truth.
My purpose.
I mean, your purpose, yeah. Which a lot of people, maybe they should look into that. And in my opinion, that relates to gematria and all that, where letters have some sort of formula. And there's a reason for all these things. And people who don't believe in the mystical woo-woo, that's okay. But the fact that the ones running the government, the ones that are in power, practices, there are secret societies, there are occulted groups, how the whole Goat's Landing thing, you can only be a part of this society if you meet these prerequisites, you know. Yeah. Again, that's an elite group. It's a cabal of people. And in that group, they kind of sort of disappear out of this dimension.
Yeah.
And only a certain people are able to tap into that. And from my understanding, you guys, are you guys still working on Goat's, is it Goat's Landing 2, the Atlas Shrugged movie?
Well, okay, so this is nuts what's happening. The synchronicities, the cooperative incidences that are coming to us every day are Newtonian physics and Darwinism cannot describe what's actually happening. So I'll give you an example. McKinley Hilady, one of my good friends, the founder of New Energy World, I told him, this is Galt's Land, and he goes, oh my God, this is nuts, because my family, a good family friend, who's almost like a second father to him, owns Atlas Shrugged and did the Atlas Shrugged movies. And he said to McKinley, do something with it. He said, you can have the name, you can have the title, do something with it.
Wait, so one of the people you knew?
A good friend of one of my partners, one of the council members, is like family with the owner of the Atlas Shrugged title.
That's weird.
It's perfect. And now, so we've got Galt's Landing, where we're demonstrating freedom at an incredible level. We've got Atlas Shrugged, the title, and we demonstrate free energy systems everywhere. Mm-hmm. So when you combine those three things, there's something happening here that is beyond. And the only way people say, Jim, you have a lot of patience, because I've been at this and I've invested my whole life savings, fiat, all the fiat into this, is presence. I do not have patience. I practice presence every day, all day long. I'm here now. I have no thoughts in my mind. I'm simply asking for guidance. And I get emotional on this one. It's so beautiful, because as soon as your mind is clear, there's governmente, which is a heavy mind of programmed BS, belief systems, bad science, and bullshit. It's all programs. Or you have a light mente, a light in your mind. What it happens in your mind when you get a good idea, the light bulb turns on. Where do good ideas come from? Where do all these ideas come from? They come from somewhere else, mm-hmm. right? And Bruce Lipton talks about this. He was an atheist, a hardcore scientist. I'm a scientist, which means I'm atheist. Well, that's another layer of lie for the whole scientific community. But he was uncovering the sheath of the DNA somehow. I don't know how all this shit works, right? But he was doing it, and all of a sudden he recognized that there's antennae in the cellular makeup of all of our DNA. And he goes, wait a minute, those are receptors, which means we're antenna, which means we are conveyors and receptors and receivers and spreaders of information, but the information ultimately comes from somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, he knew that there is some type of creator, some type of God.
Yeah, we are receivers of consciousness, as some people have put it. Yes. And it's interesting, because we're talking about mimetics, right? The spread of information. A meme is the smallest form of information. And what I call the sorcerers of the subconscious, these mimetic magicians that are in power, they take memes, they take information, they implant it, and they inject it into society, which creates culture. Yes. Okay, that's where culture comes from. Yes. And I'm thinking that all this stuff about not you know, being dependent on government. I want less government. I want the government in my life. I don't want to pay tax. I don't want to do any of that sort of stuff. But it feels like it's been ingrained in our DNA. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the flea jar?
Yes.
Where they can train a flea to jump a certain height, and that flea's offspring will only jump as high as the mother or the father flea. Oh,
I didn't know that about the offspring. That's fantastic.
Yeah, so any fleas in that line of fleas can only jump as high as the bottom of that, right before hitting that cap.
Yeah.
So think about that when it comes to all this sort of stuff, where they're programming us and our generation. So we have to be the ones to break those generational curses that's been put over us. And I think this is a perfect way of doing that, where you're able to have that freedom. And there's a peace out here too. I can't describe it because but the air feels cleaner. We're not that far. Me and Jim were neighbors. We didn't even know. I met him this past weekend. And like I said, I'd been meaning to reach out for a long time. Obviously life gets in the way. And it happened when it was supposed to happen. Yeah. I'm glad it happened. I'm glad I'm out here talking to you. And yeah, there's something magical out here. So you guys are working on this movie. Is it?
So we actually now just got a TV show funded.
Oh, really?
And that TV show is coming to market here. The pilot was done, recorded about 8 weeks ago. And we'll be actually showing this. It'll be to the council here probably in a week or two.
Oh, wow.
And this is my partner Marcel funded this, 12 episodes. And we're going into spaces, backyards, schools, nurseries, orphanages, church land, wherever. And we're showing people what can be done, the transition from lawn to food forest landscape, to Garden of Eden landscape. And it is so well done and so powerful. It's gonna be one of the world changing aspects of what we're doing.
Do you know where that's gonna be available?
I don't. NBC offered me a contract for another TV show that we did the pilot for. That was with the producers of The Crocodile Hunter and Adrian Grenier from Entourage, and NBC wrote a contract. They liked it, and in their contract they have what's called a morality clause. Well, NBC funds their whole show by selling poisons. So their version of morality and my version are polar opposite. So I would not sign their contract, and that was the end of that.
Yeah, because it's how you're saying. There's a double standard here. We complain about, for example, the red tide that goes on here in Florida, because Florida has a huge problem in the poisoning. I mean, there's and check this out, Jim. I found this out recently where there's a problem with mercury in the water in Florida. Okay, and this is why I don't know what type of water you would recommend. I do reverse osmosis.
Yeah, good.
Do you have any recommendations for water?
Well, reverse osmosis, analemma, some blue light, and I'm not really an expert in water, but when you combine some different structuring techniques, it's fantastic. But keep going.
The Everglades
is
a massive filter.
Yes.
It turns out that they did an experiment. You can look this up on the internet.
Yeah.
They took what they called organic matter from the Everglades, okay, plant matter from the Everglades, and they were able to break down mercury.
Wow.
So again, the land heals itself, but we can speed the process up by not poisoning it to begin with.
Yeah.
Because look at everything that happens, the millions and millions of fish that die from this red tide.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you've seen the news recently with these sawfish
that
are spinning to death. They don't know why
the
sawfish are spinning to death. But the interesting part about the sawfish, which is, I think it's called a carpenter shark.
Yeah.
What ends up happening, they have this long snout. I'm sure you've seen it, where they hit their prey and they cut it. And that long snout with all these teeth in it that indigenous people would take and they would also make weapons out of, it serves as an antenna.
Wow.
It's an antenna that detects, so they're able, this is really amazing, and I learned this recently from Mark, actually.
I'm crazy.
These fish are able to sense 360 degrees based on that antenna.
Wow.
So what they believe might be going on is some sort of electromagnetic anomaly that's happening that's making these fish spin out of control because they don't know what's up from down, and it's driving them to their death.
Yeah.
Right, and that's happening in the Keys, all around Florida, and it's interesting that how you're saying there is this they're poison dealers essentially is what they are, but they put it into where how you said there's something about taking pride in how green my lawn is. My neighbor.
Yeah.
Hey, I did this aeration. Look how green it looks.
Yeah.
It's dead. Exactly. It's sterile. St. Augustine grass is sterile.
Yeah.
And then the craziest part is
it's a weed. That's a weed. That is
the crazy part is that when it's under stress, it tries to sprout up, I think, some sort of seeds that obviously don't do nothing. I mean, it's shooting blanks, but but it's all death, how you're saying. And that's part of the American dream.
Yeah. The American nightmare.
Yeah. The American dream that you have to be asleep.
We're bringing the American dream back and the global dream. And we are ushering in the golden age. And I'm not under the illusion that a lot of people aren't going to die. I mean, we are experiencing it already. Yeah. It's already happening at scale, and it might happen to the tune of billions of people. But for those who wake up, take the poisons out, start healing themselves from the number one poison, which is fear, and then all the other poisons, and then growing your own food and creating local self-reliant groups again, well, that shift is happening now at scale, and that's how we win this war, and we usher in the golden age.
What other big plans do you guys have coming? I know you were supposed to have an event today, but didn't.
Taimon was having an event, yeah.
Did that get pushed to another day?
Yeah, so we had an event on November 11th, and we're going to have another one in November. It was 270 people. It was exponential energy. Paimon was going to do an event here today, but he didn't schedule enough time in. So there's a few people here that are here. Now we'll do tours and all that. I love doing tours. Yeah. If anybody wants to visit us at Galt's Landing, stay overnight. I'd love to show you around.
Yeah, and one more time, Jim, where can people find you? This has been great. We did do a little tour before we started, but where can people go to find you for those that... I'll put all the links in the description, but I like the guests to tell on the front.
Yeah, awesome.
And at the end, that way, you know, we cover all our bases.
Come join us at foodforestabundance.com or galtslanding.farm. And also, if you want to be in the business of helping people be free, if you want to be in the business of designing landscapes, or if you want to create what we call a Freedom Farm Academy, we're scaling these systems all over the world. They're off-grid homesteads that produce all of the food, water, and energy needs on site, and they serve as education and demonstration systems. So you can now turn your lifestyle, which is freaking awesome, into a business, and everybody wins.
What's your website, Jim?
It's foodforestabundance.com.
Awesome. As always, everyone, it's been a pleasure. TJOJP.com. Make sure to check that out. And Jim, thank you for having me today.
Thank you, Juan. It's a pleasure,
and
man.
I feel great being out here. So.
Yeah. Pura vida.